And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source of insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of August 25th, 2021. Well, today is a pretty important day for climate activists on a couple of fronts. And in fact, you could interpret the events of today as a clarion call for action. The big news is that the U.S. House of Representatives, and under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi, have passed a couple of different legislative things. One thing that they passed is the budget reconciliation package, which now allows the House, the people in the House, to actually write the budget that contains all of the wonderful climate change legislation that we discussed a couple of shows ago. So the reconciliation package is a rather large package that contains many facets, but also is the best excuse, the best mechanism for taking realistic climate action that will last 10 years. So the reconciliation package is super important. It took a procedural step ahead today in the House, despite some inside baseball between moderate Democrats and blah, 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 round and round. Long and short of it is that the thing that needed to get passed got passed. So that's a good thing. The other important thing that happened today is that the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which is an actual bill with language that means something, actually passed the House. Right? So now that bill can be sent on to the U.S. Senate for consideration. Okay, that's a big step. As it stands, the House has passed something called the For the People Act, and it has passed the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and sent those both on to the Senate for consideration, where we'll discuss what might happen in the Senate. But keep in mind, this is all part of this intricate dance where the bills go back and forth between the House and the Senate, and they have to get passed. And ultimately, both houses have to pass the exact same language in principle. And so I expect to be lots and lots of negotiation. And when we say that the House passed one thing, well, the Senate may pass something else, neither of which become law until they can agree that the language of those two things is the same. Right? Anyway, why is this a climate issue? Well, I would submit to you that the Voting Rights and the For the People Act, our voting process is foundational to democracy, and that if a fair and true expression of our vote is not tabulated, if it becomes possible for some group of people to basically manage the election so that they can elect people like Mitch McConnell or the former guy, right? There will be no climate action, right? All climate stuff will be met with the hostility that the former guy led against all things climate. So it's just not a tenable thing to imagine that you can be in favor of climate action but not concerned about the integrity of the voting system in the United States. So there you go. So that's why we want to talk about the Voting Rights Act and the For the People Act as climate topics and not as sort of niche issues that affect certain populations but not most Americans. In fact, the implications of the voter suppression efforts going on around the country right now will affect everyone. Okay, so let's back up and talk our way through some of this stuff. In 2013, the Supreme Court essentially gutted the Voting Rights Act, which you remember was signed by Lyndon Johnson. I'm sure if you weren't born then, you've seen video of Lyndon Johnson signing the Voting Rights Act in 1965. The Voting Rights Act was a way that certain states, primarily in the South, had to go to the Justice Department and explain what new rules they were going to put in place around voting. And then the Justice Department could pass judgment on whether or not those new rules were fair. And so that got away from all the kinds of horrible racially based abuses that were happening in the South. And I think people want to bring back. But anyway, Supreme Court killed the Voting Rights Act. The head of the Supreme Court is right now. That's his baby. He finally killed the Voting Rights Act. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act repasses the same kind of elements where there has to be a check-in, between the state and the Justice Department when they want to change voting rules. But it is applied in a way that meets the constitutional muster of the Supreme Court. So I think it applies to all 50 states. Everybody has to check in and convince the Justice Department that the rules about voting that they want to implement are in fact fair and don't affect certain populations. And of course, what you imagine, I mean, the most clear example of that, if you haven't really thought about it, is the idea that voters should have IDs. Well, fair enough. But the people who tend to have IDs are well-to-do middle-class people who live on nice suburban streets. Of course, they have a driver's license, right? A lot of older, poorer, younger people might not have the right kind of ID, and therefore they can't vote. So, or if you say, well, you can apply for a voter ID, well, you know, granny who lives 500 miles up the road may not get her voter ID in time because she's 89 years old and can't quite make it down to the county registrar's office, right? And, well, anyway, so the voter abuse stuff that the John Lewis Voting Rights Act would eliminate are real. And need that Voting Rights Act needs to be reinstated. The other very important legislation that is floating around right now is called the For the People Act, which is again addresses the integrity of the voting system. It basically talks about transparency, election finance reform, transparency, many important issues that also affect the integrity of the election process itself, right? Not so much, the election process itself. In a democracy, we should be incredibly proud of our system of voting and give it the attention, money, and thought that it deserves, and don't let it get swept under the rug by people who would prefer to manage our elections so that they win them all the time. And of course, that comes into things like gerrymandering, right? As it stands now, because the former guy messed up the U.S. Census, all of the states are now redrawing their legislative maps as to who's going to get elected to go to Congress. And because of this terrible thing called gerrymandering, these various kinds of state legislatures can create voting districts that will guarantee their party wins the election, right? Despite the fact that they don't have the votes, they're able to carve out districts. I mean, gerrymandering is a really terrible thing, and these bills would at least begin to address the potential for gerrymandering under the 2020 Census Act, which, of course, is ongoing as we speak. So there's these two bills in the House, and they're headed for the Senate, right? John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the For the People Act. They need to get through the Senate. In the Senate, of course, they have the filibuster rule. The filibuster rule is something that is sort of this anachronism. It goes a long way back, even before the United States. There are filibuster kinds of filibusters in other countries. The founding fathers explicitly rejected the filibuster. It's nowhere in the Constitution because they knew it could be abused. In the United States history, the filibuster has been primarily used to stop civil rights legislation by, this is dating back to like 1910, right? This is the way the filibuster has been used to prevent civil rights legislation, and that's the way it is being used now. The filibuster requires, unfortunately, it's no longer the kind of Mrs. Smith goes to Washington image where a senator has to keep talking for 25 hours to keep the filibuster alive. Now, under the current rules, a senator can just say, I intend to filibuster this, and then that means they have to produce 60 votes to lift the filibuster, to get rid of it, to end the filibuster. It's called getting cloture. And that's very hard to do, right? You're not going to get 10 Republican senators to vote for the People Act or the Voting Rights Act. And so in the Senate, these two bills that have been passed by the House could die unless we, as climate hawks, recognizing the importance of these two bills to the integrity of our election and the fact that if the elections are manipulated and there are not climate-friendly politicians in power, we're in deep trouble, right? So because of that, because we recognize that, climate activists should be calling their federal senators, no matter what state you're in or what the senator has said about this issue. I mean, of course, I live in Massachusetts. Both Senators Warren and Markey are in favor of abolishing the filibuster. They need to hear from voters that the voters support that stance, right? That the voters want the voting rights bills passed. And if that means modifying the filibuster, so be it, right? And in fact, it's not, so as you probably know, Senator Joe Manchin has become the face of preserving the filibuster. I think there are other senators hiding behind him, but he's the face of preserving the filibuster. He could be convinced, I think, to accept a modification of the filibuster where the senators who want to filibuster must maintain on the floor of the Senate 40 senators to vote to keep the filibuster alive. As it stands now, the burden of lifting the filibuster falls on the party that wants to take action. That is to say, the Democrats have to get 60 votes. Right now, we should insist that the rules change so that the people who oppose legislation have to maintain 40 bodies on the floor of the U.S. Senate. So if you can imagine some of those old geezers in the Senate, Chuck Grassley sitting there for 24 hours a day trying to keep a filibuster alive, you can see that there's much more likelihood that a bill would pass, the filibuster would get past the filibuster. So why is the passage of these bills important now? Well, okay, it's very important that the John Lewis bill and the For the People bill are passed in a timely fashion, that is to say, in August or September of 2021, because that will allow sufficient time for the rules to be put in place that would affect the 2022 election. So November of 2022 is not that far away. And if we go into the 2022 election using the rules that are currently being formulated in all the different states. I'm sure you've heard about how Georgia and Texas are trying to put in these crazy restrictive rules on voting. Right? If the 2022 elections is held underneath those rules defined by Georgia and Texas, for example, then it's quite possible that the Democrats could lose the House of Representatives. Okay? They might even lose the Senate. Who knows? That's bad news. Why is it bad news? Because beginning in 2022, a couple scenarios could play out. One scenario is that McCarthy, who's the head of the would become the Speaker of the House. Actually, The nightmare scenario is that the GOP retakes the House in 2022 because we didn't pass these, we didn't pass the For the People Act. The GOP takes the House in 2022. They choose Donald Trump as Speaker of the House. They could do that. They're crazy enough to do that. Okay? They make Donald Trump Speaker of the House, and then they try to impeach both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, right? If they can impeach them both, then Trump becomes president again. I mean, it sounds crazy, but who would have thought that we would have Confederate flags walking around inside our Capitol as we did on January 6th, right? It's not insane to think that these people would try that. Another negative outcome, probably more likely, of the GOP retaking the House in 2022 is that that House, the collection of lawmakers, would be responsible for certifying the presidential election in 2024. Right? All the people in 2022, all the the guys, the 147 Republican lawmakers who voted not to certify the election of Joe Biden in January of 2020, I'm sure you're familiar with that, they were all elected in 2018, two-year terms, right? So we could easily imagine that even if the GOP didn't make Trump Speaker of the House, okay, fine, put that one aside, they would still go through the same storm and drang about the election in 2024 that they tried to pull in 2020. And that would be horrible for democracy. I mean, and you know that they would do it again because they tried to do it the first time. They tried to do it in 2020. And so those are the stakes. And that's why I circle back around and say, look, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the For the People Act that have been passed by the House and are going to the Senate, but will run into the filibuster. That logjam has to be freed up, and it has to be freed up now, which is why you need, I would say, in personal opinion, you need to call your U.S. Senator, whoever they are, and tell them, do you expect them to pass these bills pronto? There you go. That's the story. That's how the Voting Rights Act is a climate issue. Because without a working, functional democracy, we aren't going to have any climate action. Anyway, I'll put up some links to some of this stuff on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions or suggestions about things we should talk about, send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. If you're listening on your smartphone using a battery powered by lithium, but tell all your friends to listen to us on their smartphones, on their favorite podcast distribution app, because they'll be able to find us. We're all over the place. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade, under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and an price on carbon that respects racial justice. I'm searching for a way to say that. We need to use all that stuff to safeguard our collective future. So, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.